This is a short reading from The Secret World of Sleep by Guy Leschliner, read by Kate at the next chapter. Introduction. We think of sleep as a tranquil act when our minds are stilled and our brains are quiet. The act of sleeping is a passive one and is associated with a blissful unconsciousness and the delight of waking refreshed. The only awareness we might have of something happening in the nights are the fragments of a dream. That is, at least, for most of us. But for many of the patients in my sleep clinic, their nights are anything but this. Rather, a night in the sleep laboratory, where I admit my patients to study their nocturnal behaviour, is punctuated by shouts, jerks, snores, twitches, or even more dramatic goings-on, and the torture of poor or even no sleep at all. The normal expectation of waking up feeling ready for the day ahead is rarely found among my patients, or indeed their partners. Their nights are tormented by a range of conditions such as terrifying nocturnal hallucinations, sleep paralysis, acting out their dreams, or debilitating insomnia. The array of activities in sleep reflects the spectrum of human behaviour in our waking lives. Sometimes these medical problems have a biological explanation, at other times a psychological one, and the focus of the clinical work that I and my colleagues do is to unravel the causes for their sleep disorders and attempt to find a treatment or cure. For the past few years, I have seen hundreds of patients per year with sleep disorders causing insomnia, profound excessive daytime sleepiness, or bizarre and frightening experiences at night. My path to this work has been accidental. In keeping with most doctors of my generation, my exposure to the world of sleep during my medical degree was pretty much non-existent. I cannot recall a single moment of teaching that focused on sleep until well into my clinical training as a neurologist, almost a decade after I graduated. It was only by chance, when I opted for an intercalated degree in neuroscience as a 19-year-old, that I was asked to write an essay on the function of sleep. As a naive but intellectually curious teenager, I had assumed, like most people, that the function of sleep was to stop you feeling sleepy, and that assumption was born out of personal experience. I went to bed when sleepy, and when I woke up, that sleepiness had left me. However, in preparation for that essay, I came across a paper co-authored by Francis Crick, one of the discoverers of the structure of DNA. Crick had in later life become increasingly fascinated by consciousness and neuroscience, in part driven by a sabbatical at the Salk Institute in San Diego, a world-leading centre in neuroscience research. In that paper, Crick and his colleagues speculated as to the function of dreaming, which at that time was thought to exclusively happen during a stage of sleep known as rapid eye movement, REM, sleep. They argued that the function of dreaming, rather than representing a Freudian royal road to the unconscious, was a form of housekeeping for the brain. Dreaming, they postulated, acts to prune out connections between cells in the brain that have developed during the day and constitutes a type of reverse learning to get rid of useless information. The validity of this hypothesis remains controversial, but reading this paper was a light bulb moment for an ignorant but interested medical student. The realization that sleep not only had a purpose other than making you feel less sleepy, but was also a complex set of brain states, not simply a state of unconsciousness between going to bed and waking up, had a profound effect. It sparked my interest in sleep and its disorders, and has led me into this fascinating and often bizarre clinical realm of sleep medicine. In this twilight world, glitches in the human brain result in striking and poorly understood conditions. All the more so as, in contrast to chest pain, headaches, skin rashes, and more usual medical symptoms, these problems most often arise without any awareness at a time when people's brains and minds are detached from their internal and external world. In the pages that follow, I will introduce you to some of my patients who have been willing to share their stories. The tales of these individuals are dramatic, terrifying, illuminating, poignant, and sometimes amusing. You will see how their disorders affect the lives of those around them, their relationship with partners and children, as well as their own. So why is it that I'm writing about these patients? And more importantly, why should you read about them? Many of the stories that follow are about patients with extreme sleep disorders at the very limits of the spectrum of human experience, and it is by studying these extremes that we can learn about the less severe end of the spectrum. By understanding how these patients are affected by their sleep disorders, We come to know a little about how we ourselves are affected by our sleep. Many of these conditions are not rare either. Chronic insomnia affects 1 in 10 adults, sleep apnea about 1 in 15, and restless leg syndrome, RLS, about 1 in 20. It is almost certain that anyone reading this book will either suffer from one or more of these disorders themselves, or know someone close to them who does.